You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Chris Mueller is a national speaker, author, father of six, and is currently making a Catholic TV show for families as he travels speaking to over 10,000 people each year. Between Chris having over 18 years experience in Catholic lay ministry and Timmery's holding a master's degree in biblical theology, together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery.
You know, Chris, I was just talking to a couple of friends this weekend, and you know those moments when you're hanging out with people, maybe family, maybe friends, and you're just having a difficult time because whatever's going on, you can't really participate in. And it's one of those moments where I'm not sure how to step out right now. I'm not sure how to say something. And, you know, you have to maybe politely bow out. You're debating whether or not something's said. Do you ever have those moments?
Yeah, well, what exactly are you talking about? What was going on?
So just talking to a couple of friends, that game, which has been popular for years, but I find that most of the time people avoid the topic around me. It's Cards Against Humanity, the adult, quote unquote, adult version of
right.
Apples versus Apples, or
okay.
Apples to Apples.
Yeah, which is a fun game.
Which is a totally fun game. Well, Cards Against Humanity, I was just talking to a friend, and they were at a party, graduation party, a bunch of adults who should really, I think it's funny that Apples to Apples versus Cards Against Humanity. Cards Against Humanity is considered the adult version of the game. Yeah, if anything, it's just juvenile.
Yeah, it's a weird thing in our society that when you become an adult, you're now allowed to act the way you acted in junior high, and it's supposed to be some kind of savvy or
know.
You know, it is. It's a strange phenomenon here. I don't know where that comes from.
You know, for those who maybe are not aware of the game, because I know personally, people have recommended or mentioned, oh yeah, you know, that game, Cards Against Humanity, and then all of a sudden they're kind of quiet, look at me, and then change the topic really quickly because I think they know I wouldn't be okay with it. Well, my friend was talking about just some of the cards that come up, and you know, whether it's dead babies, fetuses, you know, mocking Christianity, not to mention just some of the sexually vulgar content that is the vast majority of what is said there. I was just thinking, you know, how do you, in the midst of those situations, politely, you know, decline to play, pass on your card, say, hey, this isn't funny. It's like when someone makes an abortion joke.
Yeah, which again, how could that be funny? I don't run into the game all that often, mostly because the circles I run in typically include toddlers. So I guess maybe that's just not what we're doing. But yeah, it is a weird thing. It's weird, you know, I think it's something that we talk about martyrdom in the church, and we typically refer to kind of a blood martyrdom. But the reality is there's a lot of places in the Western world where we aren't suffering these blood martyrdoms, where we're suffering kind of social martyrdoms, where this games were just, they're just inappropriate, right? And
right.
I wouldn't say they're inappropriate for Christians. They're just really inappropriate for adults or
anyone.
Or, yeah, they're just uncouth. I'll use that term. But there is a kind of a social martyrdom to say, you know, I'm not going to laugh about the things that are not laughable. I'm not going to take these things lightly. They're serious things.
Well, and that's what's interesting. I was kind of researching the game a little bit more over the weekend, and there were actually a number of articles by people who had played the game and then decided, hey, I probably shouldn't be playing this game. And one of the articles, the person kept talking about how, man, they would just giggle and laugh at the different cards because they were so shocking, essentially.
Well, and there's that, right? So cheap humor is shock humor, right? It's the stand-up comic who has to use profanity throughout his routine. It's typically a lot cheaper than the stand-up comic who doesn't, because the stand-up comic who doesn't can't rely on just that shock, that kind of in your face, you know?
Well, just a reminder, and I think especially you mentioning, you know, we may not be facing that bloody martyrdom, but St. Mother Teresa would often talk about a white martyrdom, essentially. And
right.
My mom actually had communication with St. Mother Teresa, letters back and forth, where they talked about this and how the
wow.
Western world really struggled, especially surrounding the areas of abortion. And, you know, you look at a game such as Cards Against Humanity, you know, mocking religion, mocking Christianity, you know, mocking abortion. You know, these are some of the themes we see. And I mean, even just those conversations I've had where people make an abortion joke. Oh, yeah. Hey, you probably shouldn't say this around Timmery. No, you shouldn't say it at all. And I remember there have been those moments where, OK, do I just walk away? Or maybe there's been a moment where I say, hey, I don't know. I don't think it's funny to talk about killing babies.
Yeah. Or any number of things. You know, I can't remember exactly where it is in scripture, but where it talks about like that sort of laughter that happens in groups that we just you can tell like there's a sinfulness to it, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm blanking on the citation. My computer's failed me today, so I can't pretend like I'm a genius, which drives me nuts. But yeah, there's something about that shock value humor where we used to say potty words, right? Like, right. Or things that happen in bedrooms, right? Why do we do that? Why is that as a culture we go there? And again, I think it's the shock. It's the sort of the rush of it. My concern is, the more we do that, the less shocking it becomes. You look at profanity, for instance, right? And I have this theory that profanity is one step on the road to violence typically, right? And so if you're in an altercation with someone and you're arguing about something, it's pretty civil. But if someone then busts out with like a swear word, like a real hard, like bam, like that's profanity. Well, now back off, right? We've crossed the line here. Problem is, if you're using the F word every other word, then where's that line? And so you've taken away a step on the road of escalation, and now you're closer to physical violence. And look at our world, where we're seeing these really inappropriate, like a guy is single and he's frustrated about it, so he drives a truck into a crowd. Or, mm-hmm. A guy has a girl break up with him, and it's inappropriate. And so there's a level of the escalation process has just gotten out of hand. Like, we don't know how to properly escalate arguments. I'm not saying profanity is proper escalation of argument, but it's a step on the road to physical violence that it's a very clear sign that you say, whoa, he just came out with that really strong language. Now maybe I need to like back off. Well, if that language isn't strong anymore, then he's lost that tool. So now it's physical violence is the next step.
Well, and I would throw in there too. I love when you tell the story about when your dad got you guys up as kids in the movie theater and said, hell no. And you guys walked out. Well, maybe we can even just stand up in moments and say, hell no. Let's change the topic and just change the topic, or say, let's play Monopoly and change the game.
Right.
And, I think sometimes that confidence surrounded by that boundary, all of a sudden people respond and you didn't even say, hey, criticizing this person, you shouldn't be doing this, you're better than that, even though they are. You actually just change the situation without putting everyone down.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think there's a tradition of wittiness in the church. Look at Chesterton, right? Just super witty, super fun. You read him, very biting. And
right.
But like, okay, so let's elevate our conversations. Let's elevate our gatherings, so that we can have fun. We can make jokes. We can have that kind of biting, fun humor but we're not, it's not profane. It's not base.
Well, and let's pray before we get together for our conversations, for our activities, that they're pleasing to the Lord. I don't think we do this enough. I love spending time with religious because we'll pray before a meal, and I have a couple priest friends who are always pray for our conversations and the words that are said. Like, Lord, be here in this moment. That's Chris Mueller. I'm Timmy Millington. You're listening to Trending. Lots coming up in the show, and I think a big theme this week on Trending is the idea of speaking up. Later on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about a famous quote from C.S. Lewis about men without chests and how that's kind of misunderstood,
right?
And how it has a lot to do not just with men, but humanity as a whole, and how we can speak up and live in a way that I think really appeals more so to some of what we often refer to as missing in today's culture. But in the meantime, talk about speaking up. A lot of people spoke up against Snapchat this past week on the Cosmo After Dark feature that came up.
Yeah, man, Snapchat. Okay. If you're a parent and you have a child with a smartphone and you have not set the restrictions menu, you're failing as a parent. But Snapchat is one of those things where it's just clearly, and there's so many ways it can be abused. And then you look at what Snapchat as a company promotes. And so Snapchat After Dark is essentially a porn channel on Snapchat, which, again, the app gives no parental controls. There's no way to filter it. There's no way to say, oh, this is a child using Snapchat. I want stuff that's appropriate for a child. And so now this is out there for everybody on this platform. And, and a lot of people, a lot of parents, a lot of concerned people stood up and said, no way. No, no, no.
There's one individual who saw the early screening of a movie as well, having to do with show dogs. And she also sounded the horn and said, hey, there's this movie coming out that has inappropriate scenes. And I'm thankful for people like For Every Mom, who spoke up. She has a website talking about the Cosmo After Dark. And I want to stay with that. And we're going to come to the show dogs topic. But essentially, the same idea. Parents rose up. They said something. They contacted Snapchat. Guess what? Enough parents said, hey, there's no way to filter our kids from being able to see this. It's pornographic. It's X-rated. You guys, I looked at the pictures. It's talking about what we would see on a typical Cosmo magazine, but maybe even worse.
Wow.
Right?
So it's illustrated, or Cosmo more illustrated, is
right.
what you're saying?
I mean, it's talking about X-rated parties and how to have them, sexually explicit, of course, how you can get your next orgasm, women, how you can binge watch porn and really enjoy it, and then just a heinous truth and dares that you just sit there, you're going, what on earth?
Wow. So Snapchat did remove it. Like they came out and said, no, we're not going to do this. People stood up against it, and that's great. And good for Snapchat. But I just have to stop and say, what corporation thought this was a good idea? Like you look at I'm just going to say, if you have a child, don't let them have Snapchat. There's no reason they need Snapchat. Like if you got to, and again, as an adult, why do you need that? Why do you need to support a corporation that thought this was a good idea until they got caught? And that's really what it comes down to. This was a good idea until they got caught. And now, maybe we've crossed the line. We're going to take that off. Like, I just see no reason for it. There's so much on our phones. That's just, it's not necessary. All of these things are extravagant. All these things are just sort of extras, right? But I look at Snapchat and I go, it's just time for it to just go away.
Chris McKenna from Protect Young Eyes, an awesome resource. I tweeted it out at Tim Ray, but he says this. What would you say to handing a 3-page magazine to one of your kids? The first page has close friends. The second page has pictures of friends they kind of know or maybe don't know. And the third page has porn. Would you ever give your child that magazine? Well, that's what Snapchat is, you guys.
That's exactly what it is.
And that's actually why, even though my siblings love to communicate there, I've tried to avoid that area of communication. You're going to hear more on Trending about Snapchat and another way you can speak up or have spoken up and made a change.
Chris and Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at C Mueller Tweets, spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
So we've been talking about Cosmo After Dark, the Snapchat channel that Snapchat tried to put forward. Basically, it's a porn stream on Snapchat. And there's just a part of me, I'm a dad. I've got 6 kids. I mention this all the time. I love my children. I feel like parents, we have to take back this responsibility of raising our children. And I love my smartphone. My kids have smartphones now. And I was actually talking to a principal at an elementary school recently about a workshop I'm doing on internet safety there. And he had said, oh, I got my daughter a flip phone. So that's great. But did you know your flip phones typically have a web browser and you can't put filters on them? He goes, oh my gosh. And I said, yeah, that's why we moved to smartphones, because there's much more power to control the content. There's no adolescent out there who needs Snapchat. You don't need it. But I bet you've let your kids put it on your phone because you bowed to social pressure, right? Right. You've abdicated your authority to the mob.
I couldn't take it. I finally had to get rid of it. I mentioned right before the break, my siblings love to communicate via Snapchat, and I get that. I personally don't get as big of a kick out of the goofy pictures of ourselves or the filters. The filters actually kind of creep me out. And I'm just going to say, I think we've become so deformed in our view of human interaction that when these creepy filters go on, it just makes me worried about what comes next after this sexual perversion.
Right.
And I don't know if anyone, just to be really blunt, I feel like we've just become so carried away in our sexual desires, and you have moments that people have gone so far into things like bestiality. And I know that's a huge jump, but that's why I get creeped out by some of the Snapchat filters making you into a cute little bumblebee. It's like, no, it's not cute. Just be you. You're beautiful how you are.
Well, and again, I go back to this parent thing. Like, if you're giving your kid this supercomputer, right? Because 20 years ago, this smartphone is a supercomputer. If you're giving them access to all kinds of information, some of that is good, some of that is terrible, and you're not metering that out. You're not like, okay, so you would not give your kids the keys to the car and say, all right, have at it. You're going to take time. You're going to ride in the car with them, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to drive with them, and you're going to tell them about driving. Then you're going to go to a parking lot and you're giving them a chance to drive around the parking lot. And you're not going to give them the car by themselves for a long time. And then when they get the car, you're going to have the right to take it back, right? Well, no, we do with these supercomputers that we carry in our pockets. We just go, here it is. And all the knowledge of humanity in here, we know some of this highly addictive pornography, those things, and we just throw it at them. Like, again, I go back to this. If your child has a smartphone and you're letting them put apps on there purely for the reason of everybody else has it, or I don't want them not to be part of what's going on. Well, the reality is most of their friends are going to have an STD by the time they're 25. Would you like that for them too? No, you're going to try to raise them to have boundaries in their life. Same thing with the phone. You know, most of these people are going to end up in relationships out of marriage you don't want for your kids. So let's meter out the responsibility and teach them to be adults, not just hand over these things. We know Snapchat has a really bad dark side, right? Why would you put that on the phone for your kid when they're learning about how to be an adult? You know, it's like, would you give your adolescent Tinder? Mm-hmm. I hope not. Right?
Why not? They should be sexually free and go on dates.
Right.
Here's the deal. Listeners, you're sitting there in your car, you're at the office, you're on your lunch break, you're enjoying your weekend, you're gardening, wherever you are. Do you know when children are first exposed to pornography? The average age continues to go to a younger and younger age range. About 7 to 8 years old when that first interaction with pornography takes place. Well, guess what? That's when a lot of people are giving their kids cell phones. That's when a lot of people are allowing their kids to be on computers for long periods of time without any adult supervision. And, you know, we're not here to make you feel bad because you're allowing your kids to play some cutesy little game on, I remember it was like Wilkins or Winkins or something that my little sister used to play on the computer. But it was always in the family room where everyone could look over her shoulder and make sure she didn't stumble upon anything she shouldn't stumble upon. Well, we're not helping to make sure that these 7 and 8 year olds aren't stumbling upon things. I knew a close individual who at 8 years old was already looking at pornography, and there was an intervention that had to take place because the sisters were too scared to say something. So they approached a friend, and then the friend had to approach the parents. And it was just the whole situation. At the end of the day, people knew that they could go to this teenager who would address the situation and not the actual parent, because it's such an awkward topic to begin with. We're going to tell you, hey, mom, dad, are your little siblings looking at pornography? Yeah, those are things we don't really talk about often. And so we're not equipping young people to say, hey, I screwed up. I need to speak up or talk to someone about this.
Right. And again, in our modern context, if you have an open network at your home and you have some filtering on it, then you're setting your family up for shipwreck. I mean, like, you know, Covenant Eyes is a great program you can put on your home network, on your computers, and it's gonna close the door on a lot of that stuff. OpenDNS is a free software you can put on your server. It's gonna close the door on a lot of that stuff. But the reality is, the best filter that you can give your system is you as a parent. Mm-hmm. Like, the best filter you can do for your kids' smartphones or for your home network or for computers, the thing that's gonna keep your kids safest is you being present and not just using it as a diversion for your kids that you're not paying attention to. Because these things will desensitize them. That, you know, you are going to lose that. And again, sometimes it's just jokes. It's memes they thought were funny, but they were inappropriate. But you've desensitized them. Mm-hmm. And now we look at films like this, the Show Dogs that are coming out, where that was the major concern. There was stuff going on that essentially was desensitizing children or to essentially grooming behavior or abuse behavior.
Global Road has announced that they're recutting the movie Show Dogs. I was so happy. Deadline Hollywood actually was reporting on this. Essentially, one of the dogs is going in as part of the show. And apparently this is totally a part of the show dog business. Well, they have their genitalia inspected, essentially. And what happens is the dog is actually uncomfortable being touched in that area. Justifiably so, right? Well, guess what happens? One of the other dogs tells the dog to go to his quote-unquote zen place instead of being uncomfortable. And so what happens is, it's essentially sending a message to kids that you can be okay with somebody touching your genitalia when you shouldn't be. And they were trying to show this, you know, being okay with this. And, you know, basically it was giving the wrong message, Chris. And that message was the message that sexual predators try to give to people of, oh, be distracted, think about happy things, don't worry about it. It's filthy.
It's not a big deal, right? You know, again, this goes back to what we started this show, this Cards Against Humanity, this idea that we're going for shock humor, that kind of base humor. And this is just cheap. I mean, this is, you know, some writer was like, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to do a scene where the dog's having his nethers touched and he doesn't like it. And that's going to be it'd be like a running gag throughout the show. Oh my gosh, this is going to be great. And no, it's not. It's just base.
Well, and that was Global Road's kind kind of initial reaction, oh, you know, it was supposed to be a funny moment, but okay, you know, we've recut it essentially, because the National Center for Sexual Exploitation said this grooms children for sexual abuse. So much so that Cineplex, actually in Australia, pulled the movie. They said, we're not showing that here. Thank you for some type of movie business saying, no, not in our movie theaters.
Can I tell you one of the most shocking things about this story to me was that there was a PG film about talking dogs? Like, okay, there's no talking dogs film that should need parental guidance. Any talking dogs film should be G, right? Because the only people who ever want to see a talking dog show are little children.
Okay, but let's be frank, and this is what got me. The movie's rated PG.
It's rated PG,
not PG-13. PG, right? So at the end of the day, it's talking dogs. It's a movie made for kids. Why is there adult humor about genitalia and being okay with someone touching you there, especially after the Me Too movement has been so big right now?
Yeah, I think this was just one of those things where a writer thought it's going to be easy. It's super cheap, easy humor. And, you know, and we see this in kids' films all the time. They will write like inappropriate jokes into kids' films for the parents. Mm-hmm. Little adult humor on the side. The kids won't get it. Yeah, well, the problem is the kids don't get it in this situation. The kids don't get how inappropriate this is. They don't see, you know, you're essentially grooming a child for abuse when you present things like this.
Well, I mean, just think about it, you guys. All of the movies and all of the characters and all of the shows that Harvey Weinstein had his hand in, and another of other major sexual predators, you know, people finally went back and said, maybe we should look at some of these shows and see all the sexual innuendo, not just in hand gestures, but in words and physical interactions. And all of a sudden people are saying, oh, wow. Well, you know what? There's a reason my parents didn't allow me to watch a lot of this stuff growing up.
The Harvey Weinstein films, I look at Shakespeare in Love is a fantastic film. But there's a scene in there where Gwyneth Paltrow essentially gets unwrapped. It's completely unnecessary, but like it's Shakespeare and this woman have this moment of whatever. It's unnecessary to see it. But then you learn that Weinstein had made advances on Gwyneth Paltrow that she had refused. That, you know, I mean, and so essentially what you're seeing is the abuse of someone on film. It's exploitation on film. And you got to wonder how many times, think about how many movies that you've seen where these scenes are just completely unnecessary, but they're put in there. It's just mm-hmm. gross. And I've talked about ClearPlay before, and ClearPlay is a service that you can use online where you can watch films, and it edits out the profanity, ends out the sexual innuendo, it edits out the graphic scenes. And so my kids and I, we watched Ant-Man over the weekend again, and we ClearPlayed it so that my kindergartner could see it. And it was amazing how you took out the sex jokes were out. You didn't notice it. I mean, they weren't necessary. It took out, you know, all of that kind of stuff, and it just made it so that the kids could watch it. You know, there's one scene I think where a lamb gets turned to goo essentially, and we edited it so you didn't see it. It's just a little bit much for a 5-year-old to see that. And it was interesting. You saw the reaction of the actors around, but you didn't see the actual graphic moment. And it reminded me of old Hollywood where you would see. It was like implied, right?
Two people walk into a bedroom and the door closes.
Right.
Wonder what happened.
And you go back to, well, gosh, maybe we should have that. You know, this is great. ClearPlay, if you haven't checked it out, it's great. You can use it with Amazon Prime or movies by Amazon. What we did is we just ran an HDMI cable out of my laptop into the TV. So we weren't streaming. There was no skipping. It was great. We watched Black Panther this weekend and we watched Ant-Man this weekend like that. And it made it family-friendly films.
And, you know, I have to ask, who is screening these movies if not us? We're the ones screening these movies in our homes. We're the ones going to attend these movies. You guys, we have a responsibility. Speak up. Say something. You know, because people stood up to Snapchat, because people spoke out to Global Road and Show Dogs, guess what? The movie was edited. The scene was taken out. Snapchat has shut down the partnership with Cosmo for Cosmo After Dark. A win for life. A win for purity. Praise God. We'll be right back on Trending.
You can listen to more of Trending via the podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app, where you can share your favorite episodes. You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery.
know, California right now is under a major attack. We've been talking for weeks about the gender bill coming down the works. And if you haven't already gotten involved, spoken up, contacted the appropriate representatives, please hop onto my website, timmery.com, and take some action. We are going to see, potentially, if this passes, the banning of the Bible and even the filtering of conversation you hear here on Trending.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yes, what? It would impact us very, very likely. Not to mention the fact that coming up in California, possibly, and again, we've got to, you know, be hopeful when we see these things. We are able to speak up. We have voices. God has given us a voice. And right now, California is facing one of the greatest expansions of abortion the United States has seen yet. And that is what's happening is the medical abortion, which is the RU486 abortion pill, also known as mifepristone, is actually looking to be brought onto every public campus on this or in the state of California, essentially. So any UC or SU schools here.
Yeah, so what they're talking about is that the health centers at these UC or state schools would, one of the prescriptions, I guess, would be for the abortion pill.
So it would be completely free for students to have at any time. So it's accessible through the health clinics on campus. So, you know, what happened was back in 2016, Berkeley advocated for RU486 to be made available because, you know, we can't get pregnant. It would get in the way of women in the workforce, women completing their education. All of this hysteria that you hear to the point where it's actually being considered. It's already passed, I believe, in the Senate. It's already passed. It's Senate Bill 320. Now it has a couple smaller committees on education and health that it has to pass through, and then it goes to the full assembly. Guess what, you guys?
It'll pass in California.
Well, not if we speak up. Look at Show Dogs. Look at Snapchat. If you make enough of an effort, we can prevent this from happening.
And I absolutely think we should advocate. We should speak up. California needs a revolution on the legislative side. I mean, I think people of faith, people of any moral values need to get out and they need to get active and really stand up against some of these candidates. I think California on the whole is a wonderful place. We've got amazing people throughout this state, but there's like this tyranny of the insane right now. And again, the only antidote to that is sanity. The only antidote to lies is truth. And the only way that truth is going to be spoken is by individuals in conversations in coffee shops or in family dinners or at backyard gatherings, you know, and so we need to start speaking that truth amongst our circles of friends at the soccer field or in karate class or wherever you're at. But then we also need to start being active on a statewide level that we're supporting good candidates that, and I hate to say it, good candidates need funding. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you really firmly believe that your representatives aren't representing you, then you're going to have to get behind those people and not expect some corporation to do it. Because the reality is that there are strong forces pushing this agenda and they're well funded. And the funding for truth is going to have to come from people like you and me. We're going to have to get active and support those candidates ourselves.
Well, and that's the beauty of it. We're called to use our time, talent, and treasures. Are you speaking up? Because, you know, I know a bunch of parents who spoke up and shut down Show Dogs from showing that scene and shut down Snapchat from further pornography. Well, guess what? I've seen the same exact thing happen when lobbyists go to Sacramento, go to our nation's capital and speak against a bill. Here's one thing that could happen. The author of the bill could have a change of heart or some doubt and pull the bill. And guess what? Not this year. Maybe it might be brought up again next year, but all the time they don't think they have enough support. There's too much of a roadblock. They're too busy. Well, let's flood their phone lines with information so that they don't have enough time to work on this bill. I mean, these are things that we can do. And you know, there's a lot of stuff that you can take into account today. NoCampusAbortion.com is one way you can step up, get involved, contact the assembly members that you would be in line with if you live in the state of California, or guess what, you guys, call and contact them anyways. You are a member of the United States of America and you care about women, you care about children, and you care about the sanctity of human life and marriage, right? You can call anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, As I'm reading about this story, hearing about this story, I'm just so frustrated in that we've taken these years, these 18 to 25 years, and we've just given up as a culture. We've just kind of said, well, you know, kids are going to do what they're going to do, and these are blah, blah, blah. And the stereotype of the drunken college thing has just become, you know, more and more the reality. These are adults, right, who are saying that my promiscuous lifestyle needs to be funded by the state and should have no repercussions, right? Well, the reality is a promiscuous lifestyle has repercussions, right? And so, yes, you can kill the child in your womb through chemical means. That's a possibility. It doesn't mean there won't be repercussions. We know that the STD statistics in the college years are off the charts, right? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we advocating for a lifestyle that's not going to give you a life of disease, right? Why, you know, hey,
STD education, maybe.
Well, here's the thing, guys. You can have all the sex you want. There's no repercussions from that, except for the herpes you'll carry with you for the rest of your life and give to multiple people, right? Except for the virus that could cause cancer in your body later. Except for the possibility that you're going to be barren because you contract a disease and that, you know, that was a result of it. You know what I mean? It all has repercussions. The lie is that none of it has repercussions. And why are we funding that lie?
Right. Every year in the summer, I am in kind of LA area for a week or two working with young people, especially high school age people who are sent to this camp called Vox Vitae. And we talk about the life issue, about sexuality, about chastity, STDs. And, you know, we had, I remember last year, a number of kids were kind of sent, maybe didn't necessarily agree with the position of Catholicism and sexual morality that we were teaching, that we, you know, they didn't prescribe to that necessarily. And so there was some major tude from the teenagers, no big surprise, right?
Right.
Well, the turning point of the entire camp was not just the education that continued to take place. And yes, at the end, there were kids who were coming up saying, because Timmer, you presented the scientific side, not just with the faith side, I was able to see that faith and reason that you've been saying all week go hand in hand. They were able to have this conversion. But one of the moments that really touched, especially the girls' hearts, was when we had this women's session and we had Catherine Contreras and we had Pam Stenzel there and myself. And we're leading this group discussion with the girls. And Catherine Contreras, who founded Vox Vitae, comes out talking to the kids about her personal story, and she shares with the kids about an STD that she ended up having. And she talks about how her uterus was frozen, how she would never be able to have children, and the damage that was done to her body. The kids had no idea, and it was a wake-up call to them to see someone who has lived the challenges of that lifestyle and is saying, here, no, thank you, and I want more than that for you.
Right.
Those girls suddenly woke up when they realized your choices today might lead you to never being able to have a children and constant medical treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is the truth we need to be teaching our adolescents. This is the truth we need to be teaching our young adults, that your actions absolutely have consequences, right? And that, whether that be your sexuality, whether that be your study habits, whether that be your life choices, like you're responsible for the choices you make in your life, and they will have repercussions. And again, you know, you can always move forward, right? Like this woman, she'd taken that horrific thing that happened, that she can't have children because of choices she made, and she's moving forward, right, to help other people. If you find yourself in a situation where you made some dumb decisions as a young person, like, you're not done, right? But your story is going to be a little bit different than it would have been had you not made those choices, right? I just think, you know, I California university students, hey guys, it's time to wake up. You're not babies anymore. You do have self-control. You can take care of yourself. You can make smart choices. So that this idea that you need an abortion pill and the government has to pay for it. Yeah, no, that's not the case.
Well, and I'm proud to say, guess what? We have a church that encourages self-control, discipline, chastity, all of these things. You know, Chris, you and I have both gone through education without you getting someone pregnant or me getting pregnant separately. You know what I mean? Like, we both have worked in fields where we have been able to live a life, you having a family and still continue to work, even with its challenges, you know?
Right.
I do not have the risk of a sexually transmitted disease. You know, I don't face the challenge of an unplanned pregnancy. When you live according to God's law, that transforms the challenges you will see in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's this truth that if you decide as a young person to go out and live a chaste life, right, the reality is that's going to be challenged. And I think the problem is, as our culture, we said, well, it's impossible. Kids are going to be kids. They can't do it. No, 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 no. Look at the statistics. Well, the reality is that if you decide I'm going to live a chaste life, you may end up in situations you shouldn't be in. But they're going to be a lot less because of the choices you've made, right? And you have a lot less of a chance of contracting these STDs or having a child out of wedlock or any of these things. Then, and you know, and if you manage to put yourself in a culture where you're amongst other people who have made these same choices, you end up at someplace like Benedictine or Franciscan or, you know, Ave Maria or Wyoming Catholic, whatever these universities are, where you're
no
amongst...
No recommendations here, but those are all great universities.
Those are great universities.
Just saying.
Hey, I'm considering colleges. I've got kids. You know, you end up at a place like that, then that decision to live a chaste life, reinforced by a chaste culture, again, you still have the opportunity to make dumb choices. We always do. Mm-hmm. But let the peer pressure work for you. Whereas California is saying, oh, no. We kids got to go out and experiment and do all these things. And they're absolutely, if you're making a decision to live that chaste life, I would say, well, why would you go to these universities that are absolutely pushing against it with everything they've got?
You know, be proud of the lifestyle that you can live. You know, this is what I love about the encouragement and the example of the saints. And I always think of St. John Paul the Great, who spoke so widely about sexual morality. And he would look to young people and he truly believed that we could be the saints of today. Do you actually believe that? And are you taking the steps to make that happen? Frequent reception of Holy Communion. Frequent reception of the gift of forgiving your sins, which helps you in battling future sins. Like, I don't care what has happened. I do care, but I don't care what has happened in the past, because you know what? God is willing to come out and expunge all of those sins and draw you back to himself. And guess what? He's given you himself, the Holy Spirit, to animate you to live his commandments.
Yeah, absolutely. The greatest tool we've got in the struggle for holiness is the sacraments. It's the presence of Jesus Christ given to us through the sacraments.
Chris and Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at C. Mueller Tweets, spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Chris and Timmery, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
You know, someone was just asking me what we talk about on Trending, and I was saying, hey, we talk about timeless principles, right? Things that never change, right? Our faith, it never changes. The principles, the tenets of our faith, virtue, they're consistent, but we bring into conversation current topics. One of those being right now, quote unquote, toxic masculinity. Now, you don't have to be a guy for this to be relevant today. There is a quote actually from C.S. Lewis having to do with men without chests, right? And it's talking about how, you know, we expect men to be men and we expect them to have honor, but then we're shocked when they're traitors. We're shocked when we want them, you know, to be like men producing fruitfulness, and yet we castrate them essentially.
Just can I read the quote? Because it's kind of epic.
Go for it.
We make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and bid the geldings be fruitful. C.S. Lewis.
I think that there is so much to unpack in this quote, and it means so much more actually than what we think. And you know, when you read the article, Art of Manliness, awesome. Brett McKay and his wife are always producing fantastic pieces. So would really recommend you give it a read. I'll be sure to tweet it out. But essentially what he's getting at is men without chests. He's not talking about, you know, this huge breastplate, which I think a lot of people think, or this great strength. What he's talking about is essentially love, having a heart, right? And this attitude, right, of empathy, this attitude of being in touch with your emotions.
Right. And valor of being, of, you know, it's funny. We have this sense of manhood, like the real man doesn't care. You know, we have to teach these people to be uncaring and strong. And what Lewis is saying is essentially, no. We have to teach people to care passionately about the right things. Right. And an ounce of patriotism is what you want when you're in a foxhole next to someone, not a stoic detachment. Right. And I thought that was so true. Right. Like, wow, I want someone who desperately cares if I'm standing next to him bearing arms.
You're talking about passion, and passion is a wonderful thing, you guys. You know, I was actually in Mass a few weeks ago, and, you know, there are moments where you're going to hear things that come from the pulpit that are incorrect. And it was one of those moments. And it happens sometimes, right? You know, we too here will make mistakes sometimes, right? And, you know, the priest was talking about how eros, right? The word for love, one of the words for love, which is passionate love, is bad. And he said eros is just absolutely bad. It's, you know, disfigured and it's wrong. Actually, eros is a love of passion. And if passion is left by itself, it can lead to pornographic addiction, abuse of others. But eros, that passion, is something that we want to have with a self-giving love like agape, right? Life-giving, self-giving love. The two need to be hand in hand. You want to have passion in your marriage, in your friendships, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it made me laugh because I think that this goes hand in hand with the improper education people have received to this point. Don't have a heart. Don't be passionate. Be shut off. Be hard-hearted. Just know the facts. Just have the science. And that's good enough. But guess what? What that means is we have a disconnect between extreme intelligence and factual information and passion. Where do the two and two collide? We have to bring heart and love into that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you look at kind of the holy wars that are being fought on social media, and I say that very tongue in cheek. So oftentimes it's the passion for the salvation of other people that's lost, mm-hmm. right? We're so busy. Social media has been, I'm kind of on this tangent right now. Like I'm just unfollowing everyone who's engaging in what I would call the holy wars, where it's just like Catholic on Catholic arguments about minutiae and stuff. Like, where's the love? Like, where's the, I care desperately for your salvation. Like, I care desperately that you get to heaven. And again, like that may lead us to hard conversations, but you'll listen to the language and the way we talk to each other. And I think sometimes you've forgotten, like you would never speak to your spouse that way. You would never speak to your beloved that way. And you look at the way that Christ offers himself for the church. The most common metaphor of Christ in the church is spousal. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, and yes, there's an agape, there's a self-sacrificing love, but there's an eros, there's a passion, there's a desire. You know, we talk about the altar as kind of like the wedding, you know, the wedding feast of the Lamb, but the consummation of that is in the cross, right? Like there's something very profound that we need to retouch. We need to touch base or reconnect to that we're supposed to be passionate for the salvation of other people as well.
That's Chris Mueller. I'm Timmy Millington. You're listening to Trending. You know, as we're talking today, it's really important, you know, when we hear this quote from C.S. Lewis about men without chests, again, that's men who are lacking love, who are lacking their heart, right? The heart to help the conversation between the mind and the passions going together. And so here's what essentially part of the article begins to point to. You know, we've got to an educational system that's just become factual and heartless, essentially.
Right.
And part of the goal was supposedly to protect people from basically indoctrination forms of ideology that weren't true in some ways, but in fact, it did the opposite. And it used to be that we recognize every major religion and philosophy from Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Stoicism, Aristotelianism, Platonism, all of them agreed on some fundamental truths. And that is that there's a natural order to the world. And if there is a natural order, there is such a thing as truth. And if there is truth, there is a proper and an improper reaction, emotional reaction, to have to every single thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, for example, if someone, and I love the examples he gives because I think we can learn from them. He talks about, McKay here at Art of Manliness talks about humility and how you have humility before the night sky, or veneration at the courage of a warrior, or delight at a little child, empathy at a friend's father's funeral or dying of a friend's father, gratitude at a kind act of another. Yet today we've totally mixed that up and turned it upside down. And I would hazard, and I would throw this in there, and he doesn't put it in the article, but I would say instead we've put ourselves in the middle of that, making everything relative. Instead of being in awe, and he gives the example of a national park, we have a snarky person giving a 1-star review.
Oh, national park, yeah.
Because I've seen better, right? Everything's in relation to what I've seen, or I know there's better than that. Or instead of having veneration for that courageous warrior and what he did, people now scoff at them saying, well, I could have done better, or he shouldn't have even been fighting. Well, guess what, buddy? You wouldn't be here today if that soldier wasn't fighting for you.
Right. You know, there's some great Lewis quotes in, you know, the task of the modern educator is not to cut down jungles, but to irrigate deserts, mm-hmm. right? And I think sometimes we've gotten this idea that, oh, no, we have to teach people to control their emotion. We have to teach people to do this. He goes, no. We have to wake up the right passions within them. The right defense against false sentiments is to inculcate just sentiments, right? And that's something that's missing. You say, yeah, you're right. We've made everything has become so relative that there's no truth. And if there's no truth, there's nothing to be passionate about. And so, you know, what and Lewis says, then we fall into cold vulgarity, you know, and it's true, right? If we don't know what's true, we fall to what's base, right? And we see that in our society all the time, you know, and I one of the points that Lewis makes is that when we starve our students of these truths, we make them easy prey for the propagandist.
Right.
Right. And Lewis is not writing at a time when people didn't know about propagandists. Right. This is post Hitler. Right. This is a time when you know, like Hitler came, and it was through propaganda that he rose largely. Right. Or communism rose through propaganda. And so he's writing as a defense against these things. And the reality is, like, we so worry that, oh, no, you're just brainwashed, or you're just this, or that's just the way it is. We got to tear it all down and start over again. He's like saying, no, like, we need to stand up for truth, because it's truth that will protect you against all of these whims, all of these just, it's passing fashions, right? If there's nothing that's anchoring you in truth, then you're just a victim of whatever's next. And I think that's where, in a lot of senses, we are right now.
And he's pointing to responsibility. The role of educators is to teach congruent and incongruent reactions in our emotions. That's part of what we are responsible for. People should be able to have the right reaction to when something is good, the right reaction when something is bad and should be avoided at all costs. But we've fallen so far away from that. We're talking at the beginning of the show in this game, Cards Against Humanity. The proper reaction would be to say, no, this is inappropriate. It's vulgar. It's crass. It's disrespectful. Goodbye, right? And I have so much respect for so many people who politely decline and walk away, because sometimes that's the kindest thing you can do in those moments, you know?
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I'm looking at this and I just think, what a wonderful idea to be reminded again to be in harmony with nature and how we respond in our heart and our emotions to these things.
Yeah, I think this is an absolutely needed medicine against the it's all good mentality. You know, the modern ethos of, you know, well, that's your truth is my truth. It's all good. You know, no big deal. You know, I don't want to get worked up.
Well, and then we have two different things that happen. When you take out the heart, you either have people who become super prideful, totally fact-checking you every single moment. You guys know those people where you say something and they pull up their phone, put their finger up and say, well, here on so-and-so, so-and-so, it actually says. So want to shake the person, say, have a conversation with me, not your phone, right? For 1 second, we can respond to basic truths and we don't just have to be the best fact-checkers. And we also can avoid this rampant desire for sexuality, right? Avoid this rampant desire for pornography. We've got to bring into conversation the heart with the mind and the passion at the same time.
Right. Absolutely. It's missing. I kind of go back to what's happening in modern education too. And again, Lewis is speaking, I don't know how many years ago in this, but not today. You look at the push towards STEM, right? Science, technology, mathematics, all those things. Oh, this is the future. This is the future. And we've taken out the humanities. And, you know, it's funny. I had this conversation over the weekend. The humanities is where we learn to think. It's where we learn to be rational. It's where we learn to what is truth in some respects, right? And it informs the STEM stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're purely cold STEM, but you've never really formed your heart, then all of that STEM stuff becomes very dangerous very quickly. Right.
And I'm just going to throw this out there. I was actually thinking a lot about it over the weekend, how we have a responsibility when sending kids off to college, university, make sure they have rhetoric, logic, philosophy, because those are fundamental forming moments to help your kids learn how to think on their own and for themselves. This has been a great episode of Trending. Later on this week, we have much more to come. We're talking a little bit about Ireland briefly. Does God make people gay? And much more. Listen up on Trending.
This has been Trending with Chris and Timmery. To learn more about Chris Mueller or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak at your upcoming event, visit everydaycatholic.com or timmery.com.